Everybody on this wonderful Zoom. Is it snowing up there today? No snow.
No, we actually have sun.
Oh, there you go. It's going to be 84 here today. A little too warm.
Well, that's actually nice.
No, 84 is, yeah. It's kind of hard to get adjusted to it. You go from the 60s and then all of a sudden jump into the 80s and it's...
So, well, supposedly, though, in the Bay Area, it was like 70. Well, at least.
Oh,
like,
yeah. Yeah, it hasn't had much rain. I think this year's not going to be a good year for that, for the drought. It's going to be
bad. No, but they did get a lot of snow at Tahoe, which...
Yeah. Well, they'll just be shipping all the water down this way.
I know. We already had that conversation.
Yeah. They'll just fill it up. They'll make all the pipelines in the aquifer just pump all that much more down here at the aqueduct. Wow. And then everything will be so much nicer and green.
Yeah. I mean, there's plenty of water here. There's all types of lakes and stuff and rivers.
I think in the future, everybody's going to start heading north saying water is going to be quite the commodity, I think, at a certain point.
Yeah.
Hi, Jean.
Hi, Rufus. How are you?
Fine. How about you yourself? Hi, Jeff.
Hi.
Rufus, wonderful.
I'm on that wonderful Zoom. Here we are.
Jeannie, have you relocated to somewhere?
I'm back and forth, but I'm in Spokane right now.
Okay, very good.
So blank walls. There's no artwork yet.
Is that where you're permanently relocating?
Yeah, between here and Lake Tahoe.
Okay.
Yeah, but we're in between right now, Rufus.
Okay, very good. Good. Now, where is your high schooler?
He is currently in the Bay Area. He flew back with his girlfriend yesterday, so he's coming back up. But yeah, he'll be back and forth as well.
Okay, because what has the school district decided as far as learning right now?
They will open up as soon as we get into the red tier. So right now everything's still online, and by then it'll be mid-March and school ends end of May. It's like, what's the point?
Okay, I got you.
But it'd be nice to have prom and graduation. So we'll see, because he's a senior. So we'll see.
Okay. Yeah, what they're going to, I think my daughter's high school is going to invite last year's graduating class back.
To do a ceremony?
Some type of a celebration in July or something. It may act as a prom or something like that type of an event.
Yeah. Sorry, I didn't realize we had the... We got to admit to the waiting from the waiting.
Okay, very good. I'm ready.
Good morning.
Good morning, Ian.
Hi, Ian. I'm Jeff.
Hi, Jeff. You in person. Almost. Eric Cronwall. What?
How you doing, Ian? It's been a while.
Long time to see.
Yeah, indeed.
Hold on. Lots of people still.
More and more is showing interest. Yeah.
Yeah, let's give it a little more time, especially since it's not all the people that had contacted me are in yet. Okay, let's give it a couple more minutes. Just make sure everybody's here. So it might take a while to get in with all these people. So hold on. I don't see Daniel yet, so, and James.
This is James, I'm here.
Oh, hi, James, sorry. So, okay, I just don't see Daniel. Just let me check with him first before we proceed.
Is right. Jesse attending this too?
No, Jesse doesn't need to attend this. Jesse basically will just attend the walkthroughs because he's the facilities manager.
Okay.
He doesn't need to know about all the other stuff.
Technical wonders of this. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. I think we'll just get started. If Daniel comes, he'll join later. So I'm Jeannie Smith, and I'm the contract specialist in the contract compliance and general services department of OHA. And my role is to administer the process. So just to give you an idea how this conference will go, I will initially introduce the representatives from the Oakland Housing Authority. And then after that, I will lead the pre-proposal conference. I will review with you the timeline of the IFB and required documents. Then while reviewing, I will answer any questions pertaining to the administrative processes. I will then allow the Section 3 and Labor Compliance Representative, who is Rufus Davis, to make brief remarks on the information pertaining to his specialty. And then after the representatives have finished, questions pertaining to the project will be answered by James Shinagawa, Ian Hunter, or, well, Jesse's not here. So with that said, let me allow everyone to introduce themselves and their role within the process. So, and then Jeff, you can start yourself as well.
My name is Jeff Mackey. I am a contract specialist for this project, and hopefully I can come on board and answer all of your questions. I just started back with the authority after being with them for over 20 years and just came back last week. So I was a project manager for Oakland Housing. So I'm taking on a new role as contract specialist. So I'm going to be taking over this project at a certain point. So everything will be directed towards me for any kind of questions or anything pertaining to the project once we get rolling out. So glad to meet you all, and hopefully this all runs nice and smoothly.
Okay, Daniel, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Daniel Rolstein. I'm the Contracts Compliance and General Services Manager. I kind of oversee the process and the contract specialists, and I don't have day-to-day operations with, the contract itself, but if you have any questions, please contact Jeff or Jeannie and Rufus, and I wish you all the best of luck.
Okay, Rufus?
Thank you very much, Jeannie. Good morning, everyone. My name is Rufus Davis. I work for the Oakland Housing Authority, and my role is the labor compliance and Section 3 officer. When my turn on the agenda comes up, I will be more than happy to explain what my role will be.
Okay, James.
Good morning, everyone. This is James Shinagawa. I am the Director of Information Technology for the Oakland Housing Authority, and I am the one that initiated this project.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Ian.
Hey there, I'm Ian Hunter from Shala Collaborative. We're the AV consultant and designer on this project.
Okay. All right. So all communications must go directly through either myself or Jeff. And any attempt to contact these representatives or anyone else at OHA regarding the information pertaining to this IFB could result in immediate disqualification. So now we will go through just the dates and everything. So the proposal review date that we issued this on February 9th, we're doing the pre-bid conference today. The deadline for submitting questions is this Thursday, and questions can only be submitted electronically to the email address given on the IFB. We will also take questions today and I will record them. And that will also be admitted and put into an addendum, which we will, the answers to all questions submitted will be posted on the OHA website on Tuesday, March 2nd. The answers will appear as an addendum to the IFB. The IFB due date is Thursday, March 4th at 10 a.m. And bids are to be submitted online through the Housing Agency Marketplace. Bids received after 10 a.m. sharp will not be accepted. Please make sure that you have enough time to attach your bid. And please confirm that your bid has been attached, because we have had cases where people thought they submitted their bid and there's no attachment. And once it's after 10 a.m., I can't accept any bids. If you have any technical issues with attaching your bid, please contact Larry Hancock at the Housing Agency Marketplace, which his information is actually referred to in the IFB. So now I will turn it over to our labor compliance and Section 3 representative for brief remarks regarding his specialty. Okay, Rufus.
Thank you very much, Jeannie. Once again, welcome to potential bidders. Just a few notes. As you consider for submitting a bid, please note that because this project is greater than $2,000, there will be prevailing wages for the individuals who will be doing the wiring and any electrician work and things of that nature. Davis, and I monitor Davis-Bacon wage rates. Whoever wins this bid, it'll be mandatory that that vendor submit certified payroll records to me. It can be done through LCP tracker, or I will also accept hard copies. But those have to be submitted on a weekly basis. Since my office is 2 minutes away from the project site, I will be able to monitor the project on a daily basis, see how many laborers are working on the project, interview workers and things of that nature. So I will work with whoever the superintendent of that project will be, and we should go from there. The next aspect I will be monitoring is Section 3, which is an economic uplift program, which HUD, our funder, the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development, requires the Oakland Housing Authority to monitor, implement, and as such. What we want to see in this project is economic uplift. And simply, if you have a need for a new worker after the contract has been signed, you must inform the Open Housing Authority of that job position, as well as what you will need from that. We have a special department within the Oakland Housing Authority, which can possibly refer candidates to you to interview. And I continue to emphasize the word refer. Throughout this entire Section 3 project process, you remain the employer at all times. And you have the rights and responsibilities of the of an employer. So you get to decide who will work for you. You will get to decide how that person is working. And our role at the Oakland Housing Authority is to accept your job announcement and then try to find somebody who can meet your needs. And again, this is only if you actually need a new hire. That's the only, Section 3 is implemented and comes into effect only if you have the need for a new hire. That is monitored by me as well. At the pre-construction meeting, I will have a representative, one of my coworkers in another department of the Oakland Housing Authority. He will introduce himself. His name is Dan Abrami, and all requests for new hires will go through Dan Abrami and his office. That's it for now, and I'll be more than happy to stay for questions.
Okay. All right, so I kind of skipped over. I'm going to go through all of the documents that are required with the bid. So obviously the bid form, the contractor's project schedule with milestones, a bid guarantee, which must be provided for projects over $25,000. So the bid guarantee must not be less than 5% of the total bid, and that will be in a surety or through an insurance company. License 7 or a license C7 or C10, proof of that license. Then we need the qualification statement, the profile certification form, the Section 3 business certification action plan, subcontractor form if there's subcontractors, the asbestos notice to contractors and acknowledgement form, the HUD 5369A, the addendum, because there will be questions, I'm sure, that will need to be signed and submitted, and I guess that's it. I don't know if you have any other questions on all of the other documents, but those have to be submitted with the bid. So now we can move on to the question and answer period. If anybody has any questions. All questions will be answered. If I cannot answer a question, they'll be posted in the addendum on the release date on March 2nd. All other questions must be submitted by email on or before the 25th of February by 10 a.m., which will be answered in the addendum. Please speak slowly, clearly, and loud, given that I have to record the questions and answers, and please ask one question at a time. And by the way, I am recording this just so that I can make sure that I can write down all the questions and have all the questions and can answer them. So, if anybody has any questions?
Hi, this is Don Parrish with AVISBL. My question regards the recording, and that is it possible to get a copy of this recording at the end of the meeting?
Daniel, can you answer that question?
Yes, you can get a copy of it or a transcription of it
Just send us a written request for it, and we will take care of that for you.
Thank you.
Anybody else have any questions related to the project, related to the process?
This is Eric Cronwall from Avidex. Is there a, does the Housing Authority have preferred vendors for some of the hard construction activities that are called for? For instance, doing the core drilling and placement of poke through devices.
I am not sure, and I will have to get back to you on that. If that, we definitely have a capital improvements department. It's just about whether or not they're available, and I will get back to you.
Jeannie, would it be of any use to have a general overview walkthrough of the project to stir up some questions, or?
Sure, if you want to, Ian, go ahead.
If you want me to, I don't care.
Sure, of course.
Okay. So a couple of things to note on this. Perhaps someone even on this call did the original build here. It was very well done. Just before digital, everything came onto the markets. It's a lovely analog system. It's just kind of run its time. Good news about that is because it's a pretty new build, most all the conduit is already there, and it was done using analog, primarily RGBHV cables. So we have, you know, you can almost drive your truck through the conduit. It's large enough in many cases. We've endeavored to essentially reuse all the conduit as is. There are a couple of places where some new devices were added, and those should be fairly clearly called out in the specs. Eric, you mentioned one of the items, the core drill. It's very, very easy to do because you can walk right underneath its parking garage. You can see the bottom of the slab. There's no cover on it or anything, and you can see the conduit that was added in the previous build. Strangely, they put a core drill for the power and data box, perfectly lovely, but a cast-in-place gang box for the AV connections, so those are all immediately sheared off the minute someone walked past it. So we're basically just replacing that cast in place gang box with a proper drill. So it should be comparatively simple as these things go. Otherwise, it's got a drop ceiling. So the few items that we do have to add are very easily accessed above. I don't anticipate there being a great deal of problems, you know, with the wire puller getting devices in or out of this place. We're also reusing a handful of pretty much as many things as we can. So the projection screens, perfectly lovely. The desk in the broadcast room is fine. We're reusing that. We've talked about all the conduits. Some people may wonder about the projection lift. So there's an existing lift in there. And just because of the age at the time and whoever designed it selected, it has a maximum projector size limit of 20 by 20 and a weight limit of 35 pounds. That pretty squarely puts us into a lamp-based projector. That's why you'll see that Maxell projector in there. It's the only one I could find that would fit the brightness and the size and the weight. Happy to hear other suggestions if you know of one, but laser projectors are the new things. They're just also very heavy compared to lamp projectors. So that's the reason, in case anyone was wondering why on earth we were using the lamp projector here. Saved us a whole bunch of time and hassle of tearing out the ceiling and changing the lift and so on and so forth. And it'll be perfectly bright and fine. The current projector doesn't get used a ton, so we figured in this case it would be suitable. In the equipment list, it should be fairly clearly spelled out as to what is being reused. The general highlights are ceiling loudspeakers, volume controls, the infrared assistive listening system, which is a Listen Technologies brand setup, the lift and the screen. I think those might be the reuse items. There's a couple of items that are being provided by owner for installation. That's pretty much the Granicus encoder and the InformaCast device that outputs the mass notification video, audio, and control stuff. So those two things will be coming from James and team. I think pretty much everything else is essentially within the contract, unless it's specifically noted as either owner furnish or reuse existing. Is there any questions specifically about it? I can go through in more detail, subsystems if preferred, if that's helpful.
Hey, Ian, I have a general question. What's the desired spec for the broadcast system, the resolution, frame rate, and is this going to be a 12G 4K coverage or no? Okay.
No, just 3G.
Okay.
Yep. All 3G. We do now just standardize on 12G cable. So the cable and the patch bay is 12G, but the entire system is 3G.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hi, this is Stuart from DCA.
Thanks,
regarding the control system, will the Housing Authority be providing a template for the layout?
So James, this might be a question for you. It's in regards to the GUI on the touch screens. There is an existing Crestron system with what was probably a stock GUI at the time. James, is there anything existing within OHA that has a prescribed template at all?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. So I think in our spec, we just say to use the smart graphics line and knock yourself out. We'll, of course, review it during submittals, but as long as it's clean and clear, I think we're probably fine. They will supply a logo for you.
Thanks.
Any other questions?
The other thing to note is, I think the only thing that has a manufacturer's quote standing by is the tied-in one. It's listed in there. They have an existing tied-in system. We're just replacing it with a newer version. There is not a Ross quote or a Crestron quote. Ross, because they never get that to me, Crestron, because it's so straightforward, we didn't bother. The rest of the stuff should be pretty straight in.
Hi, this is Tracy from Avidex. Ian, I got a word from the Ross guys that the cameras are discontinued. I did submit an RFI on that, so.
Oh, great. Always something being discontinued, huh?
Yeah. Just wanted to let you know. I submitted the RFI yesterday.
Oh, good. Yeah, we'll review it and reply with the response.
Okay, great.
This is Don Parrish again with AVISPO. How do you want us to deal with disposal of the old gear? What do you want to do with that? Do you want it e-wasted, or what's your pleasure?
The spec calls for you to basically turn over items to the authority, and they will deal with it as they choose, unless they want to say something different now.
I would defer to Daniel that one.
Daniel?
We will research that portion and get back to you on it. And we'll put it in the addendum.
Okay. I just can't imagine anyone wanting it right now is the thing. So
it's pretty much run its course. The bits that were worth using, reusing, we're reusing. Everything outside, I think, it's pretty done.
Ian, does the switcher have all the necessary licenses, frame sync, multi-viewer, that are required, and you're calling them out, or do we need to look deeper into that config?
Certainly with checking, this is a real basic ROS switcher, so I think the only items that we added in were related to training and warranty and stuff, but certainly double check that and make sure that we've got whatever is necessary to operate. I don't believe this, the little 113 frame with the CB9, has anything, you know, to turn on any different frame rates, because there are none. There aren't any extra multi-viewers or any stuff like that. It's a real basic switcher.
Okay.
And I think I got all the licenses for the Lightning control system, but please, by all means, if you want to check into it and let me know, we can research it and respond via RFI.
I've got a couple of questions around warranty and support. This is a Brian Owens with Rahi Systems. So you're requesting a 2-year warranty, which is okay. There's a requirement or request for loaner equipment. And are you talking about every bit of gear on the equipment list, or is there some flexibility there?
I think the intent is that if they have a failure, you know, close to a broadcast event, that you would help them to make it go, I think is the general idea there. So whatever that might take is what we're, you know, kind of looking for.
Okay. And then with regard to the support, what level of support are you looking for during that window of time that you've specified in the bid? Are you looking for someone who can talk to just a technical person on staff, so it's, you know, tech to tech, or is it an end user that can't go deep if you need to have them do things to, you know, fix things on site that might be easily fixable if someone with knowledge could do? What's your thought?
Yeah. So there's two levels. There's the warranty, which would cover more like equipment failures that would be on a longer term basis. And then if you look into the AV spec on section 1.4, this is the AV spec section 274117. Section 1.4D describes a service level agreement, an SLA. So we request a 1-year SLA with these parameters. This is just reading out of the spec: unlimited remote help desk support from 7 a.m. to midnight, quarterly preventive maintenance visits, loaner equipment during repair period, and emergency priority response service call option at added cost, with the option to extend that on a yearly basis. So we want to see that broken out, that SLA, as a line item. The long and short of it is, this is a facility that primarily operates after business hours, because the boardroom stuff happens, you know, when people are not working, they can come here. So if they have a failure just before it or something, they basically want to be able to call up and not get voicemail. You know, they need support right at the moment. So that's the intent of the SLA.
So to dive a little deeper, the person that writes up our SLA contracts had a kind of a specific question about that. Is the person who's going to be making that phone call to us potentially on that, in the event something occurs, is that a staff person that doesn't know the system, or will it be someone that is technical and has some familiarity with the system?
Great RFI question. My guess would be yes.
I think I saw that coming. Yes.
Yeah. I think that, James, maybe you can describe it further, but as I understand it, there's primarily some people from the IT department that support it, but depending on staffing and the fact that it's after hours, it may not always be the same person.
That is correct. And we only have one individual who has more in-depth knowledge of the system, and the other people that would be supporting it have a very rudimentary, whatever he's told them, type of training.
So users.
Pretty much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. On that topic of the SLA, if your company, because SLAs are all over the map with what your company offers, so if your company has a specifically assigned packages of SLAs that you want to propose and say, you know, this doesn't meet, or, you know, however you want to package that, just submit it as part of the bid. Say we can meet it with this, but we also have options if you would like us to know about this.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Okay. Any other questions? Okay. Then thanks, everybody. Thanks for your time. And for those of you that are doing the walkthroughs, they've already been scheduled at that time. And we hope that if you have any questions during the walkthrough, if maybe you can submit them in writing so that we can answer them in the addendum, so that everybody knows, that everybody can be aware of the question and the answer. It's okay.
Anything we say is not binding unless it's written down. So.
Yeah. So, I mean, just use the walkthrough as a chance to get to the lay of the room, the layout of the room, and just, you know, what that means. But any questions, if you can please send it to me in email, that would be great. Anything else? Any other questions before we go? Nope. All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you,
everybody.
Thanks, all.
Thank you.